good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Senor Cage coming straight to you with the Mr. Cage podcast. This episode will be entitled Helping Youth Internalize Positive Behavior. Crucial topic. Oh my goodness. I would like to go into details of why this is so important, but if I can be very brief with this thought, is that it's important, significant, critical, pivotal, crucial that we teach our kids inside out instead of outside in. Academically, we are put in a position where we teaching our kids outside in. Geometry, advanced algebra, because these are topics that are in school systems. However, we can connect the dots to internal character attributes if we're taught. All we got to do is be taught and watch somebody model it, like myself or anybody else connected to the team. And the educational experience will be more significant and it'll be more relevant to young people. Young people want relevancy in what they're being taught. They want whatever topic is being taught to relate to where they are, to where they've been, and where they're going. I repeat, young people desire relevant content to where they've been, where they are, and where they are going. Whether you're speaking about academics, whether you're speaking about vocational programs, whether you're speaking about programs that are solely based on career, it's all under the same umbrella. This will be a part two to this. We'll probably do three parts because I want to give my listeners too much information at once, but it will more than likely be three parts. As a teacher and a training facilitator and a coach, I've witnessed countless number of youth go through high school, graduation, employability programs, and other career training programs successfully. And after the successful completion of these educational and training programs, some of these individuals return home, and some went on to obtain further training, and some went off to college. My question to any of my listeners is, do these young people believe they experience change? Do they believe they experience change? I want you to think about that question. I'll give you 5 seconds and then I'll give you my response based on my personal and professional experience. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Buenos dias. Good morning. Let's awaken to this, that I will tell you yes. Because from a societal standard and a societal norm, we associate change with addendums. Meaning, addendums equate to achievements, accolades, awards, acknowledgments. And to us, that is success. And if there is a measure of fidelity to that, that is considered a measurement of success, but that's not success in totality. However, it does not validate, that's not a validation to change. Because when a person changes, they transform from a caterpillar into a butterfly. They're no longer that person. I get that often when I'm in conversation with people and they're speaking about the testimony of how God brought me out to bring me in. And a conversation sounds like this. I remember when you, how did you change? You're no longer that person anymore. You're no longer that person anymore. How did you change? And then I give them the testimony as quickly as I can. That is authentic, genuine change. But society uses the word change very loosely. Very, very much so. Many of us believe we've gone through the process of change only to be rudely awakened to the truth that we have modified our behavior to fit our present environment. Behavior modification can be positive, but it can be a negative. When I come into an environment and I'm acting or I'm being phony, I modify my behavior to fit the present environment of people just to be, to solely to be accepted, then that is the negative connotation of behavior modification. However, we have to modify our behavior to different environments according to cultural norms. Let's say, for example, that I go into an organization to facilitate mentoring services or a training program or to be a keynote speaker. My behavior is modified to the culture, the norms of that organization, but it doesn't take away the essence of who I am. Once it compromised my integrity, now I've transcended into the realm of hypocrisy. I've transcended into the realm of hypocrisy once my integrity and the essence and the character of who I am is compromised to fit the norms and the cultural dynamic of an organization. And that's what happens to some of our young people, is that they'll be in the building being taught, whether you're speaking about high school or vocational training, and they've got enough downloads of training to improve their behavior, but the download that they need to transform is not present. And I'll give you that thought probably at the third part, the third installment of this podcast. However, it leaves them subject to their circumstances, because information doesn't change people. Information doesn't change people. That's a difficult thought, but we'll bring clarity to it in a second. Let me bring clarity now, because I don't want to forget. And I'll give you a hint. It's not the information that changes a person's thought, life, character, behavior. It's the person that the information comes from. Ah! Snap your fingers. And in my experience, that would be Christ. Therefore, moving along, some people feel that they've changed due to achieving a certain level of social status, obtaining a high-paying profession, receiving a degree of some sort, or purchasing their first home. I don't knock that. Only way it gets in the way is if it becomes an idol. We talked about idol in the last installment of Guiding Our Youth. Go back and check out that podcast, because that was also a very significant conversation that was had. From my perspective, the addition, underline, highlight addition in your mind of a career, car, house, cash, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, etc., is not an accurate measure of change or success. But we can acquire these items we can acquire these items without transforming internally. All I would have to do is follow and meet the minimum expectations to obtain a house, a car, a girlfriend, a career. And I was in a conversation with one of my family members the other day in terms of a person looking for another place to stay in retrospect, and of course with an apartment. And I've been in my apartment in October, will be 3 years. And the person seemed surprised that I was in the apartment for 3 years. And my conversation to the person was that I chose to be there. It was a choice. If I choose to purchase a home, it could take place. All I have to do is follow the minimum requirements. Get your credit up, minimum requirement, save a down payment. You don't have to change to do that. All you have to do is follow instructions. It can be done. I'll leave you before we step away. From some station identification type message, is addition is accomplishment. Addition is accomplishment. Addition is not transformation or change. I'm just allowing you to ponder on that. Let's break for station identification, and we'll be back soon. This is Mr. Cage, Coach Cage. The title for today, June 19, 2019, is Helping Youth Internalize Positive Behavior. And we have returned. We'll finish this out strong. I will let's see. Oh man, this is a lot. What I would do is I'm gonna talk up to, let me see. Cause I'm looking at my screen. I want to see how long I want to give you this insight. We'll go into why is helping youth internalizing positive behavior important, and we will digress for the day. Sometimes addition is not advancement, it is accomplishment. There are times where we're more focused on what we do. What we do is the accomplishment, verb, rather than focus on who we are and who we are becoming. That's a noun. Sometimes we focus more on doing accomplishment than who we are. However, your doing flows from your being. My verb, my action flows from my identity. Therefore, we should focus on becoming who we are. For me, again, that's in Christ, and then my doing will flow from there. Now, at times, accomplishments only confirm identity. At times, they only confirm the identity because you are who you are. Your accomplishments, what you do, at times only confirm your identity when you understand who you are. Accomplishments are not the origin of our identity. And this is the key point I want you to highlight. If you're taking notes, I'm going to say this slow. That when we teach youth through conversation and demonstration to solely rely on incentive-based external accomplishments, we position them to become victims of external circumstances because humans have the tendency to modify their behavior to receive external recognition and affirmation. That was a lot. I'll repeat it. When we teach our youth through conversation and demonstration to solely rely on incentive-based external accomplishments, awards, we position them to become victims of external circumstances because as humans, we have the tendency to modify our behavior to our present environment to receive external recognition and affirmation. It peer pressure in so little words. Peer pressure. The end result of what I would deem as externalizing of positive behavior to get, which is external rewards through accomplishment, not the internalization or internalizing of positive behavior to become, which is extrinsic reward through identity. Intrinsic. So we have extrinsic rewards versus intrinsic. When you have extrinsic rewards, people do to get. But when you have intrinsic rewards, people do because it's who they are. And that's because they've internalized positive behavior or positive character attributes. Why is helping youth internalize positive behavior importante? Why is this important? Because if positive behaviors are not internalized, then all we can hope for our young people, our teenagers, is to modify the behavior. Modifying the behavior means that the behavior patterns conform to external stimuli. Stimuli, in so little terms, in simplistic terms, is people, places, and things, and items. When we leave the external stimuli, our behavior returns back to original state. We become actors that act or play the role instead of becoming the role. I've seen this happen where I've been in organizations and one person will leave the room and the behavior will change. The same person comes back in the room, kids are silent now. And I checked them about that and I told them, now why is it that when this person leaves, you get loose and then when they come, you get tight? I wanted to highlight to them because that is a problem. It can become very problematic if I don't pose that question to them and ask them why and have them critically think about why. And it's because they modify their behavior to that person when you should be who you are no matter who's there or not. Got it? Behavior modification leaves people, teens, subject, and at the mercy of their present environment. And I'll give you a hardcore example, and this will be the completion of part one in our podcast. I thank you for being here and being a part of this. Let me stop it and pause it. Let me give you time to breathe and relax, and we'll, again, pause for promo time. Please share this podcast with those who need it the most. All right, let's hit it. We'll finish this strong. I wanted to give a hardcore example of behavior modification and how it can be negative. Again, example. You have a child placed in an environment at school where there's high expectations, rules, and discipline on consistently demonstrated and enforced expectation that the child adapts to in the environment. You got them in the school. The expectations are high. The rules are there. The teaching is there. They've been consistently demonstrated and modeled by the staff that's there. The child's adapts to this environment. Conversely, when the child is taken out of the environment, let's say that the child left home or left school and went into a dysfunctional environment at home, unstable, one parent family household, maybe mom is working 12 hours or so, and there is no supervision or minimal supervision for that child. They go home, they're taken out of the school where the high expectations, rules, and discipline are consistently demonstrated and enforced, and placed home where there's a lack of the three. The child conforms to the environment. Therefore, when the teen is in one environment at school, their expectations and how they conduct themselves could be different if these three key attributes are being enforced. They go home and there's little or no supervision, and their behavior modifies to that environment. And that could be very confusing for a child, because at school, some of that behavior may not be internalized because the instructors may not know the significance on how to do it. And their responsibility in the education system is to teach content. Kids get other stuff through the teachers outside of the content based on how the instructor delivers the information and how they relate to the young people. If it's an instructor that's very charismatic and trusting, and where the kids can come and share problems with that teacher, then that the students get other stuff from them, but primarily they're teaching content. And then the rules and expectations are enforced, however they are enforced at that environment, but behavior is not being internalized because it's not from what I've seen in my own small personal experience, it's not being emphasized because the purpose is to get you academic content. So as a personal testimony, I've witnessed several of my former students, specifically from Chicago, become victims of violence, murder, and living beneath their full potential because they left some of the most important lessons in the building where the lessons were taught. That's behavior modification. In the Christian circle, we call that religion. You come into the church or you come into the training center, school environment, you get taught lessons, and then you leave the lessons in the building, which subjects you to whatever environment that you're in. So you modify your behavior to the environment that you're in. And for Chicagoland students, from my personal experience, oftentimes that is a dysfunctional environment that can lead to death, that can lead to dysfunctional behavior, that can lead to poverty. Many times the behavior modification is the result of the youth not internalizing the positive behavior. When there's no application and reinforcement of the lessons learned, the confidence needed to demonstrate positive behavior in various environments lie dormant. If a young person gets taught positive behavior, character attributes in a school setting, in a learning setting, in a mentoring session, wherever, and it's not being reinforced at home, then the confidence to demonstrate it in various environments when the very topics and ideas that the child has been taught is challenged, it will lie dormant. I thank you for listening. This is a complex topic, but I'm going to do my best and my God-given ability to bring it in the simplest terms. Next time you listen and we meet, I will show you how to teach you how to demonstrate or how to internalize the positive behavior. I'll show you how to do it. It's not by man's hands. It's not by any strategies that's created by our own thoughts and strategies that God originated. And he transcribed it in Jesus for a pattern for us to follow. So look forward to it. It'll result in you having less stress, getting less calls from the school. Your young people, your young person, your teenager will be on the road of really fulfilling their full potential in terms of their identity academically and in the professional setting. That is my expectation, and that's my heart to you, is that that will be the end result. But I'm asking you to listen and apply that information. If you need assistance, which you will, because you just can't take it upon yourself to apply it without a coach, I'm here to coach you and help you through that process. Have an awesome day and an awesome week. We will connect soon.